Kylie's back there harassing me, and now her niece is harassing me too. Kylie said, we're waiting. So Nadine says, we're waiting. Well, good morning. Well, the sermon today was inspired by Nick and Tammy's conversation last week. So if it doesn't turn out well, you can blame Nick. If it goes good, Tammy gets credit. So they had a discussion last week about a field full of bovines, whether they're referred to as cows or cattle. Nick said they're referred to as cattle. And Tammy said there are cows, a field full of cows. And Nick said, no, they're cattle. Well, he forgot that he's talking to a former dairy farmer. Yes. There were no cattle in her field. There were hundreds of cows. There was one bull on the farm, and then all the rest were cows on that farm. So the boys were worthless pretty much on that farm, except for one bull. So I was thinking about the cattle and the cows, and our neighbors, Lowell Prentice and his father-in-law, Don Perlick, have a bunch of Herefords running around out their field. And we raised a few cows on steers at our place, and we would observe those for the past 20-some years on their farm. And when it started out, when we had ours, we would have to put maybe three wires around to keep them in, three hot wires to keep them in their pen. But over time, they would get used to that border, those wires around their pen. And we noticed over at Lowell's, he didn't have a fence in part of it. There was just grass. You couldn't see a fence anywhere. And over time, we noticed with ours, the longer we had them, we could turn off the hot wire and go work on the fence and forget to turn it on. Now, we always had an exception to the rule that even when it was hot, you would see a nose touch it once in a while and get snapped. And we're like, he knows it's hot. Why is he still touching that fence? But then you'd have some that are a little more compliant, easygoing, that they realized there was that border. Where over time, it might be a month, and we're like, oh, we never plugged that fence back in. And we would know it because our pony would usually be the one sticking his head through, eating the grass on the other side. Oh, the fence must be off again. But those cattle would realize that there was an electric fence, and then they stopped testing it. Well, then over time, maybe a wire fell down or two, and now you just have a single wire around that fence. Or eventually it got to a point when we drove past Lowell's or Don Perlick's place, there was no fence at all. It was gone. It was down in the grass, probably rusted away. And so those cows that were out in the field knew there was a border because they had touched the fence and got shocked or got cut on the barbed wire. But then their offspring, when they were born, there was never a fence there. And then their offspring, there was never a fence there, but they still recognized there was a border here we can't cross. So there was a limitation to their travel because there was a fence. At one time, there was a fence there. But there hadn't been a fence there for at least 10 years that I know of. And those animals, which were generation, 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 said there's a fence there we can't cross, even though it was removed. It was no longer there. Something was still holding them in there. And so they just thought there was a limitation or border. So I thought about us. What limitations do we have? Are they truly limitations? Are they truly a border that we can't cross? For me, one of the things is I'm inherently shy. I don't like to talk to people. I don't like to go in front and talk to people. I don't like to meet new people very much. I like my little small family, my little small circle, and I'm just happy and content with that. But I do meet new people, and I do enjoy it after I meet new people. And it kind of expands my boundary, my limits, when I meet new people and talk to people and get to know them. And I do enjoy it, but inherently I'm just shy. But so that's one of my limits or my borders that I pretty much put on myself. It says, well, I don't really want to meet new people. Well, then I do. But what limits do you have, or what borders do you have? And maybe they're real. Maybe they are an actual limitation. But what self-imposed borders have you put on yourself that said, I can't do this or I can't go there? We probably have many borders and limitations that we say we can't cross or we can't do this. Just like the cattle, that fence is gone. It's been removed, but yet they're still staying in that one field and not going to the next field because they think there's a border there, there's a limitation. You turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you. And Heavenly Father, just expand our minds today. And Heavenly Father, we sometimes have limitations or perceived limitations or boundaries, Lord. And Heavenly Father, just help us to see where you could take us and see what you can do. And Heavenly Father, a lot of times we rely upon ourselves and we think about our limitations. And we think about things that we can't do ourselves. Heavenly Father, just guide us today as we look at your word. In your name I pray. Amen. And thinking of the cattle and the cows and their boundaries and their borders, it made me think of Moses and the Promised Land. And think about when Mac and Numbers we're going to read. We'll read verses 1 through 3, then we're going to skip all the names and jump down to verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. And jump down to 17. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, "Go up through the Negev and on the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land." It was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Sin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Aman, Shisha, Talman, all descendants of Anak lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranate figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh, the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly. They showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land for which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. They are spread among the Israelites, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it, and all the people we saw there were great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and they looked and we look the same to them. So we got two different reports. One report from two men where we can go take the land. And the report from the other 10 men where we can't. We're tiny, we're insignificant, they're great, they're bigger, they'll defeat us. So we've seen two different reports, but the men seen the same thing. What was different? What was different in those two reports? The second report, where they said they would be defeated, was looking at their limits, their boundaries, what they could do themselves. And I'm sure they're right. I'm sure if they went in by themselves, they would have been defeated. I'm sure they would have been crushed, just like the men said, because they knew their limitations. Just like I know my limitations on things that I don't want to do, I know what I can do myself, and I know I would get crushed. And so that's what these guys are saying. If we go, we're going to get crushed. We're going to get creamed. It won't be pretty. They're giants, and we're like little grasshoppers. But what about Caleb? He said we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Why the different perspective? They've seen the same things. Just like you and I sometimes may be stuck on an obstacle or stuck with something with our limitations. What's the difference? Well, if you back up right to the beginning, verse 1 and verse 2. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan for which I am giving the Israelites. I am giving the Israelites. What part of that sounds like it's the men taking it? It doesn't sound like the men are going to take anything. I read this just like that Caleb and Joshua heard it. I am giving it to the Israelites. So in their mind, all they have to do is go. It's already theirs. The battle's already won. There may be a fight to be had, but it's the Lord's fight. Well, the other 10 men, they were focused on what they could do and that they couldn't conquer that battle. They couldn't overcome that burden. But the Lord said, I am giving it to you. So what things do we have that are a stumbling block for us? Things that we think that we can't do, maybe ministry-wise, or something in our lives that we can't do. Have you given it to God? Have you asked Him what He can do in the situation? I know sometimes I stumble upon and focus on what I can do, and the big picture is it's not my battle to fight. It's not my battle to win. It's God's battle. So what can we do with Him on our side? Turn with me to Acts. Acts chapter 2. Take me a minute. My iPad decided to turn off my app. So Acts chapter 2, when reading this, think of, there was a day that you were alone. When you didn't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were on your own. You were going through this life on your own. But with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's read that in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all suddenly all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing and violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We're going to jump down to 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will all prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. These men in this story, when the Spirit filled them, they were able to go out and talk to all the people that were around in their own language. So when they gave the message, it didn't matter what language they spoke or heard, they could hear their own language. The Holy Spirit was working through them. The Bible says when we come to Christ, we are also filled with the Holy Spirit. So what kinds of things can you do? What kind of limits would you put on the Holy Spirit? What can the Holy Spirit not do? When you're struggling in life with something or an issue, and you know that you can't do it, what kind of limits are you going to put on the Creator? The Creator has no limits. He has no bounds. He has no limits what He can do. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then God is in you, working through you. So now what kind of limits are you going to put on yourself? You may have some physical limitations or perceived limitations, but what can the Holy Spirit do through you? I read a lot of things that men and women around the world are doing, amazing things that the Holy Spirit's doing through them. I can see things in the church when I see people doing things, and I'm like, I don't know how that person can do that. I don't know how that person found the courage or the strength to do that. But when I think of the Holy Spirit working through them, I think, well, that's no problem. That was easy. They just had to allow themselves to be the vessel for the Spirit to work through them to accomplish a goal that God set forth. So even though your goals or your dreams may be bigger than what you think you can accomplish, with the Holy Spirit, it's nothing. It's no problem. Just be willing to let the Spirit work through you. Turn with me to Matthew. I probably read this verse every time I preach, but we're doing it again. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So he's also saying that to you. He is with you to the very end of the age. He's with me to the very end of the age. So we have no limits with the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that we can't accomplish with the Holy Spirit. The goals that he set forth for us, the desires that he put in your heart, the blessings that he wants you to give upon other people, that he wants to work through you, he can accomplish those. So don't snuff them out just because you think you can't do it or that you're not good enough or you can't go there, or you can't do this. The Holy Spirit can work through you. The Holy Spirit can accomplish his goals through you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we just thank you for the encouragement that you give us. And Heavenly Father, even though we are weak vessels, you are strong and you are mighty. And Heavenly Father, that you draw us to you for your purpose. And Heavenly Father, just help us to realize and understand that we are pieces of your puzzle, your beautiful puzzle, the beautiful picture. And Heavenly Father, that you want us to be blessings upon others and that you want us to reach the lost and to, even though we struggle and we don't understand sometimes, Lord, that you have it figured out. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you that you are all-knowing, and that we are not. And Heavenly Father, that is a blessing to us. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to have communion this morning. So we'll close with that. Sure, go ahead. Yes.
So, this verse the Lord just kind of brought up to me. It's Psalm 91, and it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." We've been studying this verse in a girls' Bible study that we've been doing, and He, like, won't let us leave from these first two verses. And He who dwells, we've kind of like translated to, he who lives in the shelter of the Most High, or he who lives with the mindset of God being Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And it's so point blank in the verse. I am Most High. He is Most High. Whatever in your heart is Most High is going to be your building blocks or your barriers, your line, your limit.
Mm-hmm.
If the Lord is Most High, He will set the limits for you. He will tell you when to stop, and He will tell you when to go. And I'm relating this to any fear, like we've been surrendering to the fear of the Lord. God is Most High. And I just feel like the encouragement I have this morning is that living is present. It's here, it's now. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. It doesn't matter what's to come. He who lives right now in the shelter of the Most High will find rest. So whatever your circumstances right now, the Lord says, I am here, and if you make me Most High, you will find rest in the Almighty. Mm-hmm. So I just want to share that this
morning. All right, amen. Well, Joe and Ben, can you help me this morning? Everybody's welcome to have communion with us this morning. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're happy to have you fellowship with us. Thank you. The night that Jesus was betrayed, before he was betrayed, he met with the disciples. And him full well knowing that he was going to die on a cross, and that he full well knew what he was going to do and what was going to happen, he broke bread with his disciples. He said, "This is my body for which you do this in remembrance of me." The same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for the communion, the remembrance of the great, wonderful thing that you did for us. Even though we were undeserving, Heavenly Father, that you did that for us. And you did that for the lost that are in our community. And Heavenly Father, just place a burden on our heart to want to fellowship with those in our community and to bring those in and give them a knowledge of you. And Heavenly Father, we know you can break down walls and you can break down barriers. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Have a blessed week.